Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Our homilist today is Chancellor Janet Warren. And now let us prepare our hearts to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the Collect for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Ezekiel, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, you ask this from your hand. Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings before my eyes. Cease to do the devil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are like red crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between elections is Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. Mark this then. You who forget God, or I will tear you apart, and there will be no one to deliver. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. Blessed are you, God of glory. You call us to give up all our vain attempts to reach you and to come before you in thanksgiving for your great salvation shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with the first verse. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born. As many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them, so blessed are these slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the ninth Sunday of Pentecost. The ninth Sunday of Pentecost finds us in a time where there's much turmoil and unrest in the world, and indeed even our own backyards. Mass shootings in the U.S., two murderers were on the run in Canada, severe drought in Zimbabwe, tropical storm in China, forest fires in Indonesia, monsoon in Pakistan, Greenland's ice sheet melting at an alarming rate, and so many more shocking events. It's frightening. It's scary. Some of these things we can actually prevent and should. Many we cannot. But we can help after the disaster. My friends, today's readings were also kind of fire and brimstone, it seems. And it does kind of make you wonder if there's something to that idea of God's wrath. Personally, I believe that it's absolutely possible, but I do not believe that it is so. Let's get away from the scary stuff in the world and even away from the fire and brimstone readings for today for a few minutes. And I want to focus on the gospel for today. Most specifically, I want to focus on that very last verse, which was, "You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Who among you are excited about the next coming of our Lord? Who among you is quaking in your boots? There were folks in both of these camps in the Bible. Just as right now, right here, at this very moment, it is like that, and it will be for all eternity. Today's gospel reading from Luke begins and ends with verses that I find somewhat comforting. I mentioned the last verse that a second ago, but being ready for the Son of Man coming at an unexpected hour. The first verse is, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not be afraid, my friends. Our dear Father provides grace and mercy and his kingdom with great pleasure. They were told that way back when, and they were told that even today. It's time to be ready. Be prepared. We are all servants of God. We serve at his pleasure. At least that's the way we should be doing. We were never told it would be easy, and yet we know it's the right thing to do. And through serving, we must always be ready, just as it says in this passage, ready for our next assignment, ready to help the next person in need. Jesus is the one saying these verses in the Gospel from Luke. Let me add another few snippets from today's Gospel. Be dressed for action. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return. And blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Let's look a little closer at this reading. As I said, it's all about being prepared. Prepared for what? Well, I see it as two things. Prepared to help here where we're needed, and prepared for the return of the Son of Man. That's what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples in today's gospel. And how do we do that? How do they do that? Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. First, you probably already know, what do I love to preach on? What's the most likely the true basis of any sermon or homily? Love, of course. Who are we to love? I'm sure you must know that as well. It's the two great commandments given to us by Jesus over two millennia ago that tells us, love God, love your neighbor. It's pretty simple. So it isn't a secret at all. We prepare for the return of the Son of Man by following the two great commandments, which causes us to help our fellow man. These are his two great commandments. By living those commandments, we are prepared. It was true over 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the earth as one of us, and it is true now. Excuse me for a minute while I digress, but I'll tie it all in, I promise. There's a cute little sitcom that I only caught a few episodes of, but it's a pretty neat premise and I really like it. It's called God Friended Me. This ties in with a great theory that I have. Okay, it's only a theory, but it's my theory, and although it's probably been thought of by many other people, in our world of connectedness through the World Wide Web, How could God reach as many people as possible across our little blue planet? Social media, of course. In the sitcom, God friends his fellow who's an atheist. And without giving too much away, he sets this guy up to make miracles happen. Simple miracles, really, but making things happen for people that this fellow doesn't even know until he follows the instructions given to him by God. Pretty neat, huh? Follow those instructions. And when he follows them, this allows this atheist to show his love for God and his neighbor. Isn't that just the way to go? He may think he's an atheist, but he isn't really, is he? Some days I wish my instructions from God were as clear. In the time that Jesus was on earth, it all had to be word of mouth. Most couldn't even read or write, much less send or receive a text. Now, there's a way to reach millions, possibly billions, with a quick message. Don't you think it would be a great way to spread the word of God? Okay, I've digressed a bit too much. As I hear the thunder outside my window while I'm gathering my thoughts for this homily, I was humbled by the power and the majesty of nature itself, a great creation of our dear Father. And I think about the dozens, perhaps hundreds, who heard similar thunder back in the time of Jesus. It reminds me of the reason why I want to be prepared for the next coming of the Son of God. Will he come in my lifetime? Gee, I really wish he would. Partly because it would be so amazing to be at his feet and learn, if I would be so blessed. But mostly because the world could really use a savior these days, especially someone's voice who could reach all who would do harm to others. And yes, I'm back to the beginning of the homily, fretting about the unnatural disasters that could have, would have, and should have been prevented if those armed with a weapon were preparing for the next coming of the Son of Man, and believed in and indeed lived those two great commandments. As for those natural disasters, they give all of us opportunity to show how we believe and live those two great commandments by helping those suffering the effect of the drought, monsoon, forest fires, or whatever. 2,000 years ago, we had no possibility of going to people in far-off countries to help them like we do today. Although we certainly have people in our own backyards that need help. Gee, they just broke up another tent city in Oshawa, not far from me. There's a housing crisis. Can we prepare for his coming again by solving that crisis? Of course we can. It's another way we can show that we love our neighbor. What did the disciples do to help the disasters of their day? What can we do to help with the disasters of our day? Let's take a step further. What can we do to prevent further disasters? Again, some we can prevent. Some we just need to help those deal with the aftermath because we can't prevent it. You'd be surprised at what we can prevent from happening if we just worked together. So what can you do now to help the world? You can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. I thought that was a quote actually from Mother Teresa, but it was Ronald Reagan. He's right, of course. We can help someone. What if everyone who was capable helped someone who was not capable? What if that started a whole wave of helping? Wouldn't that be cool? You know, that pay it forward that happens now and then at the drive-through getting your coffee, or perhaps in the line at the coffee shop? Well, I read it lasted for 3 hours somewhere. Well, it's a tiny way to help out the guy behind you, but it's a way to show your love of your neighbor. Alrighty, let's go back to the verse that I built this homily on. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. What were they doing back then to prepare for that? Well, they were listening to Jesus and trying to follow those commands. What do we need to do to be ready? We need to follow those two great commandments given to us by Jesus. And after listening to today's Cyber Sunday recording, what will you do to be ready? And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Amen.
A time of intercessory prayer. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work.
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for all those who are alone.
For this community, our country, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all those who are in sickness, especially Wayne, Philip and Charlene, Shane, Doug, Nancy, Victor, June, Tricia and Chris, Cheryl, Phyllis and Pat, Sherry, Donna, Bill, Dave and Pat, Aaron, and Carol. For those who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel, and all who seek the truth.
For Deborah, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and his church, for our own needs and those of others.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this life. We exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all those who have died in the peace of Christ, especially Dawn, and for those whose faith is known to you alone, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be unto them
who put their trust in you.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.